Hey, I want to talk to you tonight about receiving during camp meeting. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, I want to focus on your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, New Living says, so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. The Message says, your life of faith is a response to God's power, not some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Now, Paul is saying here that even though he was very educated, in fact, if you study, and I did when I was in Bible school, his life, they say that he was one of the most educated men in the whole Bible. And also, he had possibly had a religious position because he, in his own writings, he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And more than likely, that meant that we have no proof of it, but they say more than likely that meant at one time he was probably a part of the Sanhedrin. That was the religious guys that were very strict and so forth. And we see that in the fact that he went out killing the Christians. But I want you to notice that none of that made any point. We have to be careful about the fact that if we're not careful, instead of looking at the power of God, we began to mentally try to figure out how this can be, you know, when somebody's teaching something. You know, if we're not careful, and I'll get into it here in a minute, but we need to have tune-ups. We need faith tune-ups. We need Bible tune-ups. We need spirit tune-ups. And you know, I have that. In fact, Sunday you saw it on a power trip. My 33 street rod, Ford, Vicky Ford. I think they're putting together because they had me drive it on the back road, and they were doing some video of it just yesterday. And I think you're going to have it for the introduction on Sunday because Power Trip 3 is coming up. And so I went out and cranked it up, and I started driving it. And I told them mechanics, I said, "This carburetor is messed up," because I had hit it hard and it would go, and then it would sputter, and then it'd kick again and go. And I said, "This carburetor needs a tune-up. This is the carburetor. It was getting fuel, and then it was getting too much fuel or not enough air. One of the two. I don't know which, because I know a little bit about mechanics." If your engine's not running correctly, like that one wasn't, it would run, but I wasn't getting full power out of it. See, there's some of you, you're doing all right, but you're not getting full power of God because you need a faith tune-up. How many of you have to take your car in for a tune-up? Hey, there's Roy Cockshell back there. He's got the garage right down here on 145th, just before you get to 101st, he got the garage. Now, if you want your diesel pickup worked on, you take it over to RC over there just off of the highway. He's got two of them. And he'll tell you, you know, people bring a car in there, it's not running, something really wrong with it. He'll check it and, no, nothing really wrong with it, just needs to be tuned up. You need some new spark plugs and some stuff, you know. But that happens. Do you realize that in our spiritual life that we need to tune up every once in a while? Anybody ever realize that? Of course, you know, Cameron, he drives that race car. And you know what? We can have everything in that engine can be running perfect. But if we haven't got the shocks right, got the torsion bars right, got the right air pressures, Still, even we got the power, we got the engine power of 500, 610 horsepower, I think it is, 590 or something like that. But if we don't have the other stuff tuned right, we're still not getting the power to the ground. And there's a lot of times that a lot of people are spending a lot of time in study of the word and studying the word and so forth and so on, but they're not getting full use of the power. Now, I want to talk for just a minute here. Luke 5:17, we see that now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town in Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I want to zero in on that for just a minute. Here where Jesus was teaching, and he said that they were the Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and all the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, this audience consisted of the educated leaders of the Jewish community. And they were not ordinary, everyday people. They were just Pharisees and teachers of the law. Now, it looks like that this was not an open meeting. It looks like it was a special meeting just for these guys. And these were educated guys. They were educated in the Bible. They were educated in the Old Testament. And so these four guys then brought this guy. They brought, and we go back and we begin to read there. And so in power, then behold, men brought a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring and lay before him. And when they could not find a way to bring him in, because of the crowd, they went on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling before Jesus. And it says, when he saw their faith. Now he went on and made another statement there. And actually what he did, he used that point to teach them about forgiveness of sin. Now, let's look at this. As he was there they were. Now he got these men come in there. Now they were just normal guys. They weren't part of those teachers and those lawyers and so forth and so on. And probably, I don't know what Jesus was teaching on, but these men evidently knew that Jesus said, went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, according to what Peter said there in Acts 10:38. Maybe he was teaching those religious leaders on healing. I don't know. But it doesn't say what he's teaching. Just said he was teaching. Now, a lot of them were there probably to try to listen to see if they could find something, trap him in his words. You know, if you can read, they were always trying to do that, and they never were very successful at it. And so, you know, so here they are. Now, maybe they had a problem with what he is teaching. I don't know. But then they sort of got upset at what he said. Now, the men that brought this man to Jesus, they didn't have any trouble when Jesus told a man his sins were forgiven. He didn't have any, these guys didn't have any trouble with that. Now, so you see, here, these guys, they were zeroed in on receiving the healing. But when Jesus said what he did, those educated teachers began to mentally think, now how can this be? And you can read it there. They go on in. Jesus, well, he told them, he said, this is what you're thinking. Anybody ever read it there? Huh? He said to them, he said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk? But now here, see, he took an opportunity that the man needed healing, but he also took an opportunity to teach some other important things. And one important thing is to have your sins forgiven. Hello. So I was just saying that because he said something that before he told a man to rise and walk, he said something about his sins being forgiven. And that throwed these guys in a tailspin. They didn't know what to do with it. Now, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The man wasn't even in the house when they said that. He was outside. So, now, how come he got healed and none of them did? Because they were zeroed in on receiving. Those doctors of the law got hung up on analyzing. Y'all there, y'all gone home. Amen. I know y'all ain't never heard nobody teach like this. But that's exactly what happened. Do you understand that many times we come to services and a minister will say something and we will start analyzing, well, no, wait, I don't know about that. Oh. And actually miss receiving something that he says a little later. That's true. I go where, you know, if somebody says something I don't quite agree with, I just let it go because I didn't come there to that meeting to analyze what the preacher said. I came there to receive something. I can't receive something if I'm trying to analyze one statement that he made because I'm sitting there analyzing this and he's gone way down the road here. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Now, another thing, if we're not careful in our world, we get hung up on who the speaker is. Oh, well, I'm not going tonight, so-and-so ain't speaking. I'm not going this afternoon because so-and-so's not speaking. You know what? You just cut yourself off from the blessings. Because if you refuse to go hear somebody speak, you don't know who they are, you don't know how good they are, or anything like that, you're saying to God, I'm not interested in hearing your minister unless he's the one that I think is really anointed. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. Hey, I've been in this all my life. I'll be 78 years old in September. I've been in this all my life, and I'm old enough now. I say what I want to, and if you don't like it, it's your problem, not mine. Used to, when I was younger, I was very careful on what I said. But now I'm not careful at all because I've got years of experience to back up what I'm saying. You know, if you're a novice, in fact, Paul talks about being a novice. Just stay steady and stay quiet until you get some experience and some years behind you. Then you have a right to say something. You know, I get really amused at these young couples that try to, or somebody that's not even married, trying to tell somebody, writing a book on how to raise kids. If you're going to write a book on how to raise kids, you better wait till you get them out of your house and then you won't write it. Any of you that are grandparents like me, willing to go along with that? You know, one time there's this doctor. He wrote a book on how to raise children. 10 something facts to raise children. Then he had some children, and he changed his book name to 10 Suggestions on Raising Kids. He come from being absolute to just giving suggestions. You know, what you need to realize is that many, many times we don't get the full advantage of the power of God in our lives because we're hooked up on who the speaker is. you know. Now, there's nothing against any of our speakers. I don't care if somebody don't like it. That's their problem. When we have Mark Hankins here, all my church shows up and everybody else here in town shows up. We fill the building up. But you let Philip Slaughter, that people don't know. Philip sang with the Rhema Singers of Band for many years and is a good, strong minister on his own. But I don't know him, so I'm not going to go tonight. All right, I can speak, and we have a pretty good crowd. Craig can speak, and we have a decent crowd. Somebody else can speak that somebody don't know of, and people don't show up. Don't look at me and don't get mad. It's the truth, and you need to know the truth, because the truth will set you free, and you can get some blessing. But sitting right here in this congregation right now are people that you've already decided that you're going to come when certain people speak. You'll get blessed, but you won't get the blessing you would get if you'll come and listen to each individual speaker speak, because everybody that speaks can say something that will help you in your life. Somebody told me the other day, said, man, Pastor, you're getting bolder and bolder in your preaching. It's about time that some of these guys get bold enough to stand in the pulpit and tell it like it is. You know, I believe in programs. We have them here, and I believe in different things that we need in the church. But there's one thing that it's good to tell people that God loves you, but it's another thing to tell people there is sin. And you don't hardly hear a message preached on sin anymore. Come on. I mean, I've been talking about the power of God the last two Sundays. You don't hear a lot of people preaching about the power of God. I'm talking about lining up with the gifts with the Holy Spirit and so forth and so on. They talk about believing God and receiving and thank God for all that faith. You know, I was raised in the man's house. It's noted as the modern day father of faith. So you know, some guy trying to tell me one day, not very long ago, trying to tell me about my dad and faith. I am a pretty outgoing, tough, I don't know what you call it kind of guy. I don't take much off of nobody when I was playing sports. Well, you can ask Brother Bill. I played sports against Brother Bill. I didn't take nothing, and I give it out too, didn't I, Brother Bill? But he's telling me about faith and my dad and what my dad, how he taught faith and how he believed. And finally, I got so disgusted, I looked at him square in the eye and I said, did you live in his house? Did you grow up with your feet under his table? Did you travel all over the United States with him in meetings? Have you heard him preach thousands of sermons? No. Do you have his DNA? No. Then I think if I was you, I'd keep my mouth shut. That's exactly what I told him. Some people say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't be there. No, it's about time people speak up and stuff. I'm to the point I'm about tired. I'm on listening to ministers on TV, and every one of them try to validate what they're saying because Brother Hagin. Won't they just talk? Teach the word, because that's all he was doing, teaching the word. But see, they're trying to validate what they're teaching because Brother Hagin taught it. It didn't make no difference if Brother Hagin taught it or not. If it's the word of God, it's the word of God. It don't make no difference. Y'all getting anything at all out there? I know I just came loaded to just talk to you about, because the audience depends on whether the speaker really gets involved or doesn't. Because if the audience is not pulling on him, I mean, he's like pushing a car uphill by himself. Because the more the audience pulls on him, the more the anointing of the Holy Spirit flows, and you're going to get blessed. But if you sit there, if you don't come because this guy's teaching or that guy's teaching, All you're doing is leaning to your own understanding. Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Well, I don't understand why they're having him. I mean, you know, I don't like his preaching. Well, you know what? If you come listen to what he has to say or she has to say, you might find out that they say a whole lot that will bless you and help you. My dad used to say, I never forget it. I was third grade, the last church he pastored. I remember we sitting at the supper table. Well, y'all call it dinner now. Back then we called it breakfast, dinner, and supper. How many of y'all remember when we did that? See, how many of y'all don't remember? How many of you remember it's always called breakfast, dinner, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner? How many remember that? Yeah. See, Bible says, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. So. I'm kidding. And so Dad said, I'm going to have so-and-so in here for a meeting. And my mom said, hon, you know you don't even, you don't like the way he does some things. You don't like some things about him. He said, I know that, but he has a message that this church needs to hear. So he had the man in, and it was a good service, and people got blessed and helped. And actually, my dad, didn't quite go along with everything the guy did, but the man had a message that he realized that his people needed. Now, I'm talking to my church here tonight. We there's my assistant sitting right there, Kim. Lynette and I, we sat in our office, Craig, and we had prayed and we talked about speakers for camp meeting. We got certain ones that we have every year, but then we bring some others in. And we believe that we have a group of speakers this year that are going to bring something to the table, and we'll all be blessed if we'll all come and get involved. Now, I realize some of y'all don't like the way I did this tonight, so don't get offended. Just listen to what I have to say and come and enjoy and believe that you, when you walk through that door, that you're going to receive something. Come ready to receive. Come ready to be blessed and be a blessing. Hello. You know, why am I teaching this tonight? Because I've been in this all of my life. And I have seen it as a kid growing up and going to services and going to district councils and general councils and full gospel fellowships, meetings, and all every kind of Bible conference that you want to name. And I'd hear ministers and just people say, well, I'm not going to go to this meeting because so-and-so's speaking and I know I wouldn't get nothing anyway. Well, now, they go to the next meeting expecting to get something. And I just got to thinking about it. If you're not willing to listen to one minister of God's ministers say something, why do you think you're going to get something from a minister, other minister say something just because you like him? Just because you think that he has more Holy Ghost power. Do you realize there's no shouting tonight? This ain't no shouting sermon. But do you understand this is just as much as a Holy Ghost meeting as anybody running, laughing, jumping, hollering? See, we need to get through our heads that every meeting is a Holy Ghost meeting, because the Word of God says that the Holy Ghost moves in different ways. He doesn't move the same all the time. Tonight, I just came to talk to you out of a pastor's heart. I trust that I haven't offended too many people. If I have, ask God to forgive you for getting offended. and go out there and go out in the bookstore and buy my book, How to Avoid the Trap of Being Offended. Now, did anybody get anything out of this? Actually, Pastor just sort of used a few Bible things and talked out of my heart to you. Sometimes I like to do that on Wednesday night. I like these Wednesday nights to just be like we're sitting down in a room somewhere just having a conversation. Do I make it feel like that with you guys? That's what I try to do. I try to make it just like, hey, we just sitting there having a conversation. Heavenly Father, I talk to the people tonight out of my heart because I've seen this too many times. I've seen people miss too many blessings. And Father, I pray that I realize everything I said wasn't for everybody, but something I said was for everybody. And I pray that each individual would take whatever was said. And Father, I pray that it would be indelibly stamped in their heart and that they began to understand some things that they need to change in their life so that they can be more blessed by the power of God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Well, I trust you got something out of this. Everybody stand, please. Hallelujah. Connection team, go find our first time guest. We're so glad that you're with us tonight. And we have in a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, right here. I'll be doing the third lesson on Power Trip. Come be with us. Actually, if you're looking for a church home, we already told you, welcome home. Just come on, be with us. We have a great time. We call ourselves the Rhema family, serving God unlimited. In the natural and the spiritual. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, the ladies are here. The men are on this side as we're dismissed. Come down here. They'll pray for you, and you won't leave. Pray with you and for you, and you won't leave here like you came. Amen. Hey, go out there and sign up. We need to help with those kids. Go out there and sign up, okay? And go out. That's in the resource room over here on the east side. You approve workers know where it is. North lobby, you can sign up for ushers. And ladies are welcome to sign up to be ushers during camp meeting. We need your help. Hey, get ready, pray. I hope you've been praying all week. We've had some really good times of prayer. In fact, our whole staff had a prayer meeting time here just the other day, and it was really good about camp meeting. Praying, you know, because the whole staff around here, about 200 employees here at Rhema, we all get involved. And then all of you that are in the ministry of helps. You see, some people call it volunteer. I call it ministry helps. Sometimes I call it volunteer. But it's the ministry of helps. That's what you're in. And you're just as important as the guy speaking on that stage up there. All right, praise God. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I determine to get something out of every speaker that I hear that's anointed by God. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now.